Aloha from Hawaii again. I just had such a wonderful feast in Hawaii, I just wanted to share it with you. I'm not used to wearing a suit. For the whole feast, I didn't have to wear a suit. And I kind of felt like, okay, now I'm back and I'm wearing a suit again. So it's an adjustment period. Well, welcome to all our visitors. And we do have quite a few visitors today. I know you didn't come to hear me speak. You came to hear Brian. So we're all look forward to his Bible study. There are two scriptures in the Bible that when I read them, I take them very seriously. I look at them, I evaluate my life, and determine, am I fulfilling these scriptures, or am I doing the opposite? And I want to share these two scriptures with you and then continue with my sermon. The first one is found in Luke 18. You can turn there with me. Luke chapter 18. And we're going to look at verse number 8. Now, you may already know this scripture. It's one that sometimes comes up in various sermons. And it's coming up today in my sermon. Verse 8. Of chapter 18 of Luke, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now, breaking into the thought here, he's talking a little bit about the judge that is being avenged there. It says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, that's an important question, and that's something I think each and every one of us has to evaluate ourselves. Do we have the faith that God is saying here? Because apparently there will be a lack of faith. When Christ returns, we understand that there are many scriptures that refer to that. Individuals, love of many shall wax cold. That's just one in reference. So there's a lot of scriptures that makes us question: will we, as individuals, as God's people, will we have faith when Christ returns? And so that's a scripture that I look at personally, and I have to evaluate myself and say, do I have the faith, the endurance, the trust in God to be able to have the faith that he says here? The second scripture is found over in Romans. Romans chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 35. Now again, I'm breaking into the thought here a little bit. Who is he that condemn, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So when I read this scripture again, I take it very personal. What would it take for me to separate myself from God? Would it take tribulation? Would it take distress? And we all deal with tribulation and distress in one form or another. Persecution, which some of us have faced in various ways. Famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. Again, a very powerful scripture for each and every one of us to evaluate. What would separate us from the love of Christ or faith that we need to have? So if by now you probably know I'm going to talk about faith today, and that's the subject I am going to be talking about. Faith is a foundational and a fundamental biblical doctrine. We understand that in Hebrews 11. It is absolutely required for salvation. And it's also a gift from God. Now, people say, what do you mean it's a gift from God? It's one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22. We receive faith as one of the spirits, one of the fruits of the Spirit. And so it's a gift from God. But what is faith? That's a big question. A lot of people say, I remember when I was in high school, there was a football player, and our team was playing another team that was a very, very powerful team. They were undefeated, and our team was defeated once, and so we had to face this team. And one of the players came up to the coach and says, Coach, I have faith. That was his girlfriend's name, Faith. So it was a joke. And I still think about that. having faith, is it just a matter of words and just saying I have faith, or is it something a little bit more deeper, something that we really have to develop within ourselves? And again, it's a gift. It's nothing that we've earned or something that we are able to do on our own, but it's rather one of the fruits of the Spirit that within us enables us to have the faith that Christ expects when he returns. I think one of the best ways of examining and explaining what faith is, because a lot of people have different ideas of what faith is, and the Bible in itself explains in various ways what faith really is. I think one of the biggest examples that we have is, of course, Abraham. Abraham, who is considered the father of the faithful. He's called the father of the faithful, and his example is one way that we can learn what true faith really is. Each and every one of us can have faith that Abraham had, but it's a matter of a gift. We receive it, and it's God's Spirit dwelling within us, enabling us to have the faith that he expects. So let's look over at Romans chapter 4 again. We'll refer to Romans chapter 4, and we'll look at verse 17. Here it says, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead and called those things which be not as though they were. Now, here, father of many nations. God promised Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. And yet, at the age of 99, many of us would doubt, a father at 99? Is it capable? Is it possible? And yet, Sarah tried to take things into her own hands, and she temporarily lacked faith for a short period of time, and they had an illegitimate child, Ishmael, thinking that was how God was going to fulfill the plan of God. But God made it very clear, no, this is not the chosen one. It will be another son. And of course, Sarah is well in her age, and again, many people would say, well, how's that possible? Sarah's well past the childbearing age, and Abraham was almost 100 years old, and yet Abraham had faith. But Abraham did not, he didn't look at his physical ability of whether to produce a child or not. He didn't look in doubt and had lack of faith. And he didn't look at Sarah knowing that she was well past the childbearing ages and had doubt. He had trust and faith in God. He looked to God as the promise to make him a father. So he trusted in God. He had faith. He had confidence. Well beyond what was capable under normal physical conditions. And yet, again, he had faith. Let's look at Romans 19, where we're at verse 19. And notice what it says here. Romans 4, verse 19. And being not weak in faith. So he didn't lack faith. He didn't question. He didn't doubt. He considered his own body now dead. So here he is, 99 years old, and he considered, okay, my body is dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he knew that there was probably a possibility that she was not able to have children. But as soon as God said a promised child to him, he had the faith. He had the confidence. It says, he staggered not, verse 20, not at the promise of God through unbelief. So he did not doubt. He did not have unbelief. But he had full confidence and strength of faith. And he was strong in faith, it says, giving glory to God. And he was persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now that's an example of faith. And that's an example that we can hold into our lives and realize that it's going to take strength. Not that we're able to do it, but the strength that is within us, the gift of the Holy Spirit that enables us to produce the fruit of faith. So Abraham looked at the situation and not being weak. That's a definition of what faith is. And I'll read it again. And being fully persuaded that he, which was God, had promised, he, God, was able to perform. Now that's one definition of faith. We also know over in Hebrews 11, you can turn there, Hebrews 11, and this is another definition of faith. Again, most people have this memorized. I know growing up, this was once a scripture that was referred many times. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." That's very, very important to emphasize in reference to faith. We don't hope for things that we see because we have already seen them. We don't have faith because we already seen it. But we have faith in the things that we don't see. The return of Jesus Christ is one of our hopes and one of our faith that we have to have faith in, of the return of Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, many people have lost that faith and turned away. And here it says in verse 3, "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed from the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So it is a challenge for individuals to remain faithful. Unfortunately, as time progresses, Christ even questioned, will there be faith on the earth? Now, he knows that there will be faith. It's not like he's doubting himself. Christ is not doubting. He just understands mankind. Mankind has a tendency to turn away from God and to lose faith. But he knows that there will be faith. He was just questioning individuals about their faith. And that's what we have to look at the scriptures when we look at ourselves. Do we have the faith to endure to the end? That's very important. Now again, these are the two biblical definitions of what faith is. There's many other individuals have different ideas of what faith is. I'm not going to go into that because of time. But I am going to go talk about examples of faith. I think as we come into the fall season, we just had a fantastic Feast of Tabernacles and last great day in the Holy Day season. It was fantastic, wasn't it? Everyone had a great time. I'm sure most of us did anyway. But I want to emphasize that now we come into the time where Satan has his days. And that can be very, very frustrating and very disappointing. I remember growing up as a child, one of the days that I really, really hated to see was Halloween, because I knew it was coming right after the Holy Days. And being in school, especially on the elementary level, they wanted us to dress up for Halloween. Well, as a young child, I didn't know any better. And so I participated in the Halloween activities when I was a young child. But as soon as God called my parents and brought us into the understanding and the glory of his light of understanding, Halloween became obvious a day of Satan. And we understand the background of what Halloween's all about. And so we're faced with that almost immediately as soon as we come back from the feast. The young children in school, the teenagers that have to face their peers, and even adults. That's Halloween is an adult holiday now. I find just amazing. It doesn't matter where you go, people are dressing up, having parties, and doing all the trick-or-treating activities that are surrounded. But we fully understand what that day is all about. And so sometimes that day can actually bring us down a little bit, depress us a little bit, and start thinking, now Satan days are here. And we can get a little bit discouraged sometimes, and even to the point where sometimes we even lose a little faith. We understand the kingdom of God is coming. He's going to do away with all these traditional holidays that Satan incorporates in our society. And so we have to have the faith that when Christ does come, he will restore righteousness back on this earth. And that's something we look forward to. And we have to have the faith and trust that when that is fulfilled, that we'll be part of it. Now, you do not need faith for something that you already possess. And you say, well, what do you mean? You don't need faith in something you already... Yeah, we have the faith, but we don't need the faith to possess. It's trusting in things that we haven't received yet. Faith revolves around something that we haven't seen or we haven't received. I'm going to ask the question. Has anybody seen Jesus Christ and God the Father? I don't see any hands. I haven't seen them either. That means it requires faith to believe in Jesus Christ and God the Father. Not many people believe in Jesus Christ and God the Father. There's many people on this earth that do not believe in Jesus Christ and God the Father. Over in Romans chapter 8, if you want to turn back to Romans chapter 8, we'll look at verse 24. Here again is another description. Some people refer to this as a description of faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 24, for we are saved by hope, and that hope is the kingdom of God. But hope that is seen is not hope. So if we've seen God, or if we've seen Jesus Christ, we no longer need hope. But here it says, for what a man sees, why does he yet hope for? Verse 25, but if we hope for that which we have not seen, then do we have patience to wait for it? And there's many scriptures in the Bible that says we have to wait, endure faithfully to the end for the return of Jesus Christ. But if he's already been seen, we don't have to have necessarily the faith anymore. We can lose faith. And that is something that I think a lot of times people don't realize. You can lose faith. And many people have. So it's very important that we need to develop faith that God has given us through the Holy Spirit as the gift. And we need to nurture it. We need to hold on to it. And we need to be faithful to God and to the end. Not go halfway, not go three quarters of the way and lose faith. The love of many shall wax cold. We understand that. And unfortunately, we don't want to be one of those individuals that wax cold and lose faith. We want to be faithful to the end. Now, Paul's another example. I mentioned about Abraham. Abraham was a wonderful example for us to hold on to and to think about whenever sometimes we may be questioning sometimes our faith or whether we have faith. We can look at Paul. Now, Paul was a prisoner, and Paul boarded a sailing ship bound for Italy. You remember the story. We'll read about that. And he was warned, he tried to warn the captain, you better not take this trip because there's going to be a storm coming up and it's going to be a pretty severe storm. But the captain didn't listen. And of course, Paul was a prisoner at the time, so he was going to be put on the ship bound for Italy. Well, the storm did come, and the storm was quite a storm. It lasted 3 days and it shook the boat to the point where it looked like nobody was going to survive. It was going to be a terrible ordeal. It would be lost totally. But Paul stood up among the individuals because he was told by an angel that he would be spared, that he had to go and face Caesar. So he knew that he was going to be alive. But he was also encouraged by the angel that everyone on the ship was going to survive as well. Now, they're going to lose the ship. It went down. But all the individuals on the ship was alive. It says, let's look at Acts 27. Just refer a little bit there, Acts 27. So this was faith in Paul. When Paul was told by the angel that you would survive and you would face Caesar, and the others in the ship was going to survive, it built his faith again and strengthened him. Acts chapter 20. Sometimes my bifocals don't always stay clear. That's the process of aging. We have to have faith that we'll have new eyes in the kingdom. We won't have these dull eyes that fade as we get older. Acts chapter 20, and we'll look at verse 21. It says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, again, was very strong in emphasizing faith towards God. And if you want a title for the sermon, that's what I'm going to title it, Faith Towards God. So I've already got into my sermon, but you can title your top of the page, Faith Towards God. So Paul had faith towards God. Although all the physical evidence in his storm showed that perhaps he would peril, he would die, he had faith when he was told that he would survive. Paul had faith towards God because he believed in God. He believed in the angel that told him that he would live. He had unquestionable conviction. There was no doubt when he was told that God would indeed do what he had promised, that he would protect him and that he would heal him. Now, we also can look at other examples in the Bible. Noah comes to mind. I think all of us can look at Noah, who preceded Paul. And he's a wonderful example of faith. Can you imagine if God told you to go and build an ark in the middle of nowhere and all the people inhabitants of the land were ridiculing and mocking and making fun of you and testing your faith, would you be faithful to do what God asked you to do? Well, Noah set the wonderful example, and he did follow through, and God did follow through with his promise. He said he was going to flood the earth, and he did. He flooded the earth. And his example is found not only in Exodus, but it's also with Genesis. You can also find it back in Hebrews, which we're going to go to the book of Hebrews a little bit later and emphasize all the individuals, all the faithful individuals that were given faith and endured. And it's amazing what some of these individuals endured. And you wonder, what does God have in store for each and every one of us? What are we going to face in our lifetime? Will it shake our faith to the point where we give up on God? Or will it strengthen us through trials and tribulation and perils that we talked about earlier? That can strengthen us to hold on to our faith, to be even stronger in faith, knowing that God gives us the strength, the power to enable to face anything that comes our way. And we have no idea what each and every one of us is going to face. There's some challenging times ahead. Wonderful, wonderful times and scary times. It's a mixed package. But we understand, in order to receive the kingdom of God, we have to go through that dark tunnel. I refer to it many times as a dark tunnel. The perilous times that are coming. They won't be easy times. They will test our faith. Whether we'll remain faithful, whether we'll endure to the end. But brethren, if we hold true and we evaluate ourselves and see, do we lack faith? And if we do, one of the greatest blessings that we have, it says, if you lack faith or anything, ask and you shall receive. So brethren, if we even look at our lives and we say, I do lack faith, the wonderful blessing of knowing that we can ask God for more faith when we face trials and tribulations in different circumstances. It's a wonderful blessing to be able to be confident that God hears our prayers. He's listening. He's watching. He's observing whether we remain faithful. And if we do lack faith, and apparently there will be some that will lack faith, it doesn't mean that they can't get faith again, that they can lose out. They can cry out to God and ask for more faith. And God can hear their prayers and turn them around and give them the faith again. Hebrews 11 is known as the faith chapter. I think we all understand that. It's a wonderful chapter to read sometimes when we are faced with various circumstances. Job's another book that we can read. And Job sets a wonderful example of being faithful. Can you imagine what Job went through? When I read the book of Job, again, I just amazed what a powerful strength that man had to be able to face all those circumstances, losing family members, losing all his possessions. And yet he still had his wife who even questioned his faith and told him, you know, curse God and die. But he held strong. He held strong. Job was a wonderful example for us to read, to hold on to realize that Job, even though, like I say, he faced tremendous trials, tremendous loss, God blessed him again with more in his family. He had another family. And so in the end, he remained faithful. Job is a wonderful example of faith that we can hold on to. The faith chapter talks about many individuals, and here's an example of some. It demonstrates patriarchs, prophets, kings, judges, and even a repentive prostitute. So what a wide range of individuals of faith that the book of Hebrews talks about. So it doesn't matter what category you find yourself in. You know, whether some of us will be judges in the future, kings, prophets, patriarchs, and hopefully no prostitutes. But if an individual chooses that lifestyle, there is hope. There is hope for the individual, because we have the example in the Bible that even individuals that have horrible lifestyles can change and repent. And there are key lessons that we need to understand what faith is all about. There are key things that we have to do in order to receive the Holy Spirit. One negative example, and I'm going to just briefly refer to it. I'm not going to even turn to the scripture, but you pretty much know it. Now, this is a negative example, and I wanted to bring it out because it started the whole process of lack of faith in mankind. One very negative example is our parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve. Our first parents knew God. They knew that He existed. They had contact with God. They had a direct, they saw God, they heard God, they talked to God. And so, in one sense, they had full access of faith to understand God. God told them, the first parents, that they would surely die if they ate of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And they chose, they lacked faith, and they chose the fruit, and they ate the fruit. And that started the process of the lack of faith in mankind. From that point on, individuals had the capability of lacking faith because our parents lacked faith. And we understand that both positive and negative examples are for our good. We can look at the negative examples and say, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be faithless and lacking faith. But we can also look at the positive examples and say, that's what we want to be like. We want to be like these individuals who were positive, who were faithful, who endured to the end, and faced tremendous, I emphasize, tremendous trials that are amazing. Well, let's turn to Hebrews, since I am talking about what they're facing. Hebrews 11. Now, John told me I could talk either long or short. So you're either going to get the long version or the short version. Either way, you're going to get Hebrews 11. And we'll look at verse 1. We already talked about verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And that's what faith is described as. And it continues here. It says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. So these individuals in this Bible chapter here in Hebrews 11 receive a good report. And listen to some of the things that they go through. It says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed from the word of God. So we understand that from the very beginning. We're going to step down to verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. So it was a faithful offering that Abel gave. That shows that he was faithful, that he did. But unfortunately, Cain slain Abel. And he had to show lack of faith. Cain showed lack of faith in this example here. God testified of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet Abel was dead. He was speaking because of his faith. Verse 5, it says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Some people question that. That's how that was. And because God has translated him, for before the translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Did you know if you lack faith, you cannot please God? It's very obvious. If you lack faith, God is not pleased. He watches and observes whether we have faith. Here it says in verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. And that him is God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you lack faith, God's not pleased. It comes down to that. And that's why it's so important that we must have faith. It's a requirement for salvation. If you lack faith, you turn away from God. If you turn away from God, you can lose salvation. So faith is very, very important. It's something we have to take serious. It's something we need to nurture and hold on to. We have to hold on to that faith and use that faith as God intended it. Verse 7, it says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen. We talked about Noah. as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his family, of his house, by which he condemned the world, which was God, and became heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. So Noah set a wonderful example. Again, I mentioned about, can you imagine the ridicule that he was? Hey, Noah, what are you building? He said, I'm building an ark. What are you building an ark out here for? Because God said he's going to flood the earth. Yeah, it hasn't rained for 100 years. And then suddenly it did. And so the fulfillment was there. And Noah held on to his faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should go after, received an inheritance, obeyed. Now he didn't know where he was going. God told him he was going to send him out, not knowing whether he went. And by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as is a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So again, he stepped out in faith. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So again, he knew the kingdom was coming and he was looking forward to that kingdom. Now here, verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah, so Sarah is listed here, herself received strength that she was able to conceive. And we talked about being well past the age of conceiving under normal conditions. But she was through her faith that she was strengthened, that she was able to conceive and was delivered a child, which when she was well past her age. So it was normally impossible. And sometimes individuals lack faith in many, many ways. Here's one possibility that she could have lacked faith. But here again, she became faithful. And because she judged him faithful who had promised. And so she held on to the promise that God had given her. Therefore sprang there even one, and of him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky. Now when you look up in the stars of the sky, and it's... We had a sermon in Hawaii about that, and it was a great sermon to draw us close and just realize how magnificent and how powerful our God really is. And yet, despite this vast universe that is so complex, and we just go out into space and we see all these stars and planets and universes, and yet God's down here on earth. He's concentrated all his efforts for mankind down here on earth. He didn't expand. He don't have individuals on Mars or Jupiter or any of the other planets that are close to Earth. He concentrated all his effort, all his desire here on the planet Earth. And he provided all the things necessary for each and every one of us to be able to survive on this planet. And like I said, they sprang from all the magnitude. And this is an example. When we look up into the stars, he told Abraham, it's going to be like the stars in the sky. Your descendants are going to be... just innumerable descendants. And we are all descendants of Abraham. So we can take comfort in that. Now verse 13 it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. So many of them never received the promises that they were looking forward to. And yet they had the faith. Now by not receiving the promises, many people lose their faith. Well, God promised he would do this, but he didn't. And we can lose faith. But these individuals, they died in faith. They trusted in God, even though they did not receive the promises of what they were told that they would receive. Having seen from afar off, and they were persuaded and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's what we all are. We're all waiting for the kingdom of God, and we're just strangers and pilgrims waiting for the kingdom of God to be established. But they... that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And that's the kingdom that we're all seeking. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have the opportunity. Now, here it refers to going back, but we're looking forward to the kingdom that's coming. We don't look back on our existence, but we look forward. But now they desire a better country, which is the kingdom of God. That is a heavenly country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. And that's part of being faithful. We should never be ashamed to call our God our God. For he has prepared for them a city. So when people sometimes question, why do you do that? Why do you believe that? You know, all you have to do is believe in the name of Jesus Christ and you're going to be saved. I had a fellow I worked for, or worked with, and he called me into his office and he said to me, Bobby, I want to talk about religion. He says, you believe in Jesus Christ? I said, absolutely. He said, you think his shed blood gave the forgiveness of your sins? I said, absolutely. He said, fantastic, you're saved. Once saved, always saved. And I said, well, that's not necessarily true. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, you can lose your salvation. No, once saved, always saved. So we had a whole hourly session of once saved, always saved. And you know, at the end of our conversation, now listen to this. At the end of our conversation, he said, Bob, if you keep believing what you're going to hell. He had me once saved, always saved, and now he condemned me to hell. So it's interesting how people view once saved, always saved, and how it's just a matter of believing in God and Jesus Christ, and that's all you need. But no, it takes faith. It's going to take faith, brethren. That's what's going to get us to the kingdom of God. Because we can lose faith and we can lose our salvation. So it's very important that we hold on to the faith. It's very important that we do that. Verse 17, by faith Abraham again. This is another example of faith for Abraham. When he was tried, offered Isaac, and he which had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Now, this is his begotten son. Now, he had another son, Ishmael, and others, but in this reference, it's referring to the begotten son, of whom it was said that Isaac shall be the seed called, the called one. So, accounting that God was able to, and this is interesting, accounting that God was able to raise him up even after death, or from death. So, even if God chose to take Isaac's life, Abraham had the faith that God could resurrect him and bring him back to life. Tremendous faith that Abraham set for us. An example that we need to hold on to. And no matter what we face in life, we're going to lose loved ones. We're going to lose ones that we're close to. But hopefully, we will have the opportunity of seeing them again in the kingdom of God. And that's something we can look forward to and have the faith to know that we will see those loved ones once again, even if they do pass before the return of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So again, Isaac had the faith to bless Jacob and Esau. And of course, we can read that over in the earlier chapters of the Old Testament. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons Joseph and worship, leaning towards the top of his staff. And by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention about the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment to carry his bones, or concerning his bones. So again, more examples of individuals, of faithful individuals who set examples. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid by his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. Now, I had one fellow say, what's a proper child? I think a very loving child. I think it was in that respect. And they were not afraid of the king's command. And what was the king's command? To take the lives of the firstborn, of male children. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. So Pharaoh, who was the Pharaoh at the time, was Moses', if you want to say it, stepfather, or in retrospect, or leader, parent. Either way, there's lots of ways that Moses looked at Pharaoh, and he had a lot of respect for Pharaoh. But he chose to turn away from that because he knew that God was calling him, says verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, he could have had it wonderful with Pharaoh. Pharaoh would have blessed him, would have gave him all kinds of riches and wives and all kinds of wonderful opportunities. But notice in 25 it says that he chose to suffer with the afflictions of the people of God. So he knew who the people of God were. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. So his faith was towards Christ and the sufferings, realizing that he was given a command to take and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. It says, and he had respect for the recompense of the reward. So, and by faith he forsook Egypt, for fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to see him who is invisible. And through faith he kept the Passover. So as God commanded him to keep the Passover, he kept the Passover, and sprinkling of the blood, lest the firstborn be destroyed. And so he stepped out in faith. And he also continues. The Hebrews faith chapter has a lot of emphasis on certain individuals. And again, these are individuals that we can hold on to dearly. These are examples for each and every one of us to hold on to dearly. And we want to be like them. You know, the old saying, I want to be like Mike. Growing up, I want to be like Mike, which was Michael Jordan at the time. And of course, all the sports athletes would emphasize, I want to be like Mike. Well, here we want to be like these individuals. We want to be like God and have the faith and confidence that these individuals have. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as it was dry land, in which the Egyptians continued to pursue and they drowned. So again, it took faith to go into the Red Sea. Can you imagine? You come through the border of the Red Sea and you see the Egyptians behind you and they're coming to capture you. That would be a test of faith. And Moses said, be still and let God work it out. And he did. He opened up the Red Sea. Can you imagine what a powerful message of faith that would have been for each and every one of them to realize that, yes, our God is capable of parting the Red Sea and we can go forth in faith that we will be saved. That's a wonderful example, again, for Moses and the Israelites. Again, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, marching around the walls of Jericho and for 7 days. And again, the people, the inhabitants of Jericho was probably mocking and laughing at him. Hey, keep marching, or whatever they may have said to him, mocking him. But the fulfillment was, the promise was, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down and the city of Jericho was taken. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that they believed not when she had received the spies with peace. Now, some people question that. Well, didn't she lie? Well, God looks at the heart. And I'm not saying that if an individual lies that that's right or wrong. God knows the circumstances. The end result was God was pleased because he put her in the book of faithful. Now, I'm not saying that if we lie, God's going to be pleased. It's obvious. God hates lying. But here's an example that people question and say, well, how can Rahab be faithful if she lied? She sinned. God looks at the heart. God knew there was a purpose for saving the spies. And so, again, there are things in the Bible that sometimes we don't fully understand. But we have to have faith and trust in God. He knows what's best for each and every one of us. In this situation, Rahab was faithful. And what shall more I say? Now here in verse 32, I find from 32 to 40, listen to some of the things that took place among some of these individuals' lives. Talk about testing of faith. Faith is absolutely required for eternal salvation, as I emphasized earlier. But listen to what some of these people went through. And what shall I say more? For the time will not fail me to say of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of David. And David is a good example. The faithfulness of David. Samuel, the prophets. Now here's what they went through. Verse 33. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. So they had the faith, they were able to subdue kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises that they were given. And they did. Some did receive promises. Stop the mouths of lions. Daniel in the lion den. Can you imagine being put in with a den of lions and tested whether you'll be faithful, whether you'll trust in God? And it says, stop the mouths of lions. And so Daniel had the faith. Quenched the violence of fire. And there's different situations. Escaped the edge of the sword. Some have escaped, some did not. Some did not escape the sword. Out of weakness, many were made strong. So sometimes when we look at ourselves and we say, boy, I can't believe I did that. And you question yourself, you say, do I have the faith that God wants me to have? And you question yourself, well, when we're weak, we can become strong. Because that's when we have to cry out to God and say, give me more faith. Give me more strength to be able to face whatever I must face. And I'm sure that's what some of these individuals says. Out of weakness, it says, we're made strong. Vaxed violence in fight. So there was many individuals had strong fights. Turned to fight, a flight the armies of the aliens. And one of them was David's example of Goliath. Can you imagine? Now, David's a wonderful example of having the faith to say, this Philistine is cursing our God. I'm going to go out there and kill him. And everybody else is shaking in their boots, afraid to even face Goliath. David was a small little guy, maybe my size. And he had the strength and the faith and the character to say, I'll go out and kill this Philistine. And he did. Tremendous example of fighting the armies of the aliens, that he had the faith. Women received their dead. And of course we can read many examples of individuals who were resurrected and received back to life. Others were tortured. And again, tortured in many, many different ways. And that's a test of faith. Would you endure torturing? None of us will know that answer till we face it. None of us will know whether our faith will be strong enough to face whatever torture consists of. Not accepting deliverance. And some of these individuals died. You think of Stephen and some of the others, examples of individuals who were tortured and they weren't delivered. But they will be in God's kingdom because they were faithful. They endured. That they might obtain a better resurrection. All of these individuals looked forward to the kingdom of God. They knew that they would be resurrected no matter where they were in life. If they were killed, eventually they would be resurrected to a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings. I mentioned about Noah. They were laughing and scoffing at Noah, building an ark out in the middle of nowhere. Others, the bonds of imprisonment. We read about Paul. He had to face imprisonment, and many of the disciples were killed. They were stoned. They were sawed asunder. Again, these are strong words. And sometimes you say, can I face stoning? Can I face being sawed asunder? I mean, horrible deaths. And yet it's going to be a situation where it says they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And say, that is a real test of faith. To be able to face what these individuals faced. To be able to say, I trust in you, God. Whatever comes my way. And hold on and trusting in him. Now verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy. And again, we look at these individuals and we say, these are wonderful examples for us to hold on to the values of faith, to endure to the end, brethren, to not grow cold or get weary in well-doing. As the Bible warns us, we have to be able to really face whatever our lives face. Now some, It says they wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens, in caves of the earth. And these, having all obtained a good report through faith. So all of these were faithful, received not the promise. They're waiting for the promise, which is the kingdom of God. God having provided some of better things for us, and that's something we're going to be looking forward to as well, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. So they're waiting for us too. They're in the grave waiting for us to be perfected, and that we be faithful as well and endure to the end. In order to even start the salvational process, there are some things we need to do in reference to faith. Number one, we have to repent of our sins. And for those of us who have not been baptized, we have to look at ourselves. For those of us who have been baptized, there are continuational processes, but I'm going to start from the very beginning. We have to repent of our sins and ask God for forgiveness. Then we have to be baptized. We have to have the faith of the blood of Jesus Christ for the atonement sacrifice of our sins and be baptized. Now, after baptism, then we have to receive the laying on of hands. Now, some people, again, feel that all they have to do is be baptized. But there's examples in the Bible of individuals who were not baptized and were waiting for the receiving of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And later on they were baptized and they did receive the Holy Spirit. When they received the Holy Spirit, then they received the fruits of the Spirit. and they were able to have the faith that God expects us. So it's a process. You have to repent of your sins. You have to be baptized. You have to have the laying on of hands and receiving of the Holy Spirit. In the process of receiving the Holy Spirit, we receive faith. Now that doesn't say individuals can't have faith in trusting in God. But to fully please God and endurance faith that we have to be able to face these trials that we read in Hebrews chapter 11 about the terrible things that can happen in our lives, we have to have the Holy Spirit enabling us to have the faith, to giving us what we need, and to be able to endure to the end. And so that's why it's a process. We must believe that the one Jesus Christ who was sent faithfully fulfilled his commission. And he did. Jesus Christ fulfilled his commission, why he came here on the earth to become a human being for the sacrifice of each and every one of us. It takes us faith to accept that. That's something we just can't do on our own. It's going to take faith to accept that and to endure. And so Jesus Christ's example of faith is probably the most powerful example, because he did not have to do that. God did not have to create any of us. He had the angelic beings. He had all that he had up in the heavens. And he decided he wanted to expand his family and create man and woman. And so in that process, each and every one of us has the blessing. And Jesus Christ, when he came to offer the sacrifice for each and every one of us, that was a fulfillment of faith. He knew he had to do it. He was willing to accept the responsibility of having the tremendous sacrifice. And we have to accept that through faith. And it is that faith and acceptance that enables us to receive the promises of the kingdom of God. What a fantastic plan that God has for each and every one of us. But it does require faith. It does require us to endure to the end, to be faithful, living examples of faith. As the examples in Hebrew 11 are examples for us to hold on to. Individuals that we will know in the future will say, hopefully, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we look forward to, the kingdom. What a wonderful blessing that we have. Brethren, the days ahead will be difficult. I don't want to paint a lolly-dolly picture. It's not going to be wonderful. We're not all going to march into the kingdom and have a wonderful time. There'll be difficult times before we get to that wonderful time. Will your faith be tested? Probably. Will you have the faith to endure? Only you know. And if you lack faith, ask God to give you the faith you need to face whatever God has in store for your life. Brethren, the kingdom of God is going to be a wonderful time that each and every one of us is going to experience. We can rejoice. You can read scriptures like Revelation. Let's look at Revelation while we're talking about Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Now this, I'm going to refer to verse 12. Because this is not only in reference to the white throne judgment, but for all of us, in many ways, to think about here. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Now, what books are these? These are the books of life. It says, another book was open, which is the book of life. Brethren, if you are faithful, if you endure to the end, your name will be written in the book of life. That is what we all want to be in, the book of life. And it says, and the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the book according to their works. And we'll drop down here. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We have a choice. We can choose to be written in the book of life, or we can lack faith, turn away from God, forsake him, and end up in the lake of fire. Two choices. The kingdom of God or the lake of fire. God wants us in the kingdom of God. So he even tells us which is the better choice. We have to be faithful. We have to endure in order to receive eternal life and to be in the kingdom of God.